For our Bible reading, let's read in Psalm 145. Psalm 145. Verse 14 for our scripture text. Psalm 145, verse 14. The Lord upholdeth all that fall and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. Oh, I love that, don't you? Let's look at it again. The Lord upholdeth all that fall and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. If the Lord would stand by me today, I want to preach what I'm calling, Lord, I need a lift. This is a precious and very precious promise that we have, isn't it? That when we're bending beneath our burdens, God is there to give us a lift. Do you ever feel like that spiritually or emotionally, maybe physically, you just need a lift? I read an old story one time about an angel that took a man in this dream and showed him a man that was cutting wood. And the man observed this man at his work cutting wood. And the man had a sizable amount of wood already cut and ready, you know, to take to the house. And he reached down and tried to pick it up, but it was too heavy for him to pick up. So rather than taking some sticks of the wood off the bundle, he began to cut more wood and added more wood to the bundle. And then he added more and more wood to the bundle. And of course, he couldn't carry the smaller bundle, let alone a bigger bundle. And so the man asked the angel, said, well, what does all of this mean? And he said, it represents you, or people rather, that have burdens too great to bear. But instead of finding a way to manage our load, we want to add to the burden and add to the load. I felt like the Lord dealt with me in prayer this morning. I woke up a little after five, and I couldn't rest, and I stayed at the house a little while, and finally I just had to get up. And I come and just fell across the chair there in my study, and I poured my heart out before God. I had a very, very heavy, heavy burden on my heart this morning for someone, and you're here today. And I'm going to try to preach to you that what you need to do is roll that burden over on the Lord this morning. I felt the Holy Ghost quicken me when Brother Darrell was speaking that some of you may be on the mountaintop, but he referred that there may be somebody pretty close by that they may be kind of under a load. And I feel like there are one or several here today. You're just under a load. And I hope before you leave this service today, you'll just cry and say, Lord, I need a lift. Let me talk to you about the prevalent reality of burdens. Burdens in life are not something that may happen. They are something that are just going to happen. Job, he lamented and said, changes and war are against me. Simply put, he's just saying, hardship after hardship is come upon me. It's not something that just might happen. It's not something that perchance may take place. You are going to have burdens. There'll be times when life just gets so heavy that you want to scream, I cannot take any more of what I'm having to take. Job went farther to say that man born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Simply put, Job is saying life is short-lived and it is full of turmoil. And that's what James said in James 4. He said, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. Did you ever hear the black folks sing the old spiritual, "Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows my sorrow." I feel like there is someone under the sound of my voice here today. That's what you're saying down in your heart. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows the trouble I face. Many years ago, there was an agnostic by the name of C.S. Lewis, and many people today are familiar with some of his writings, but he wrote a wonderful little book that remains, for the most part, unknown, and it was The Problem of Pain. In that book, he deals with you and I trying to rationalize, trying to reason, trying to come to an understanding of why we have to go through the things that we are facing. I wish I had an answer for every problem. And there are some cases that if I gave you the answer, you would be offended at me. There are some cases that if I gave you the answer for your trouble, you would be offended because I told you the truth. Jesus said, "Will you be offended also?" Peter responded and said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." You know, the fact of the matter is, many times we ourselves are to blame for the trouble that we're in. We ourselves are to blame for the things that we're undergoing and facing. But I'm not here to browbeat you today. I'm not here to take advantage of you because of the trouble you're in. I'm just here to preach to you today that if you are in trouble, and if you are heavy laden, there is one that knows how to come and lift you up. Lord, I need a lift. Burdens are a part of life. And may I go on to say that just because you are a Christian, you are not excused from burdens. Peter said, "Think it not strange concerning this fiery trial which is to try you." And Jesus told His own and said, "In this world ye shall have tribulation." He said, "But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." You see, a lot of times we think because we name the name of Christ that we are excused from tests. We think that we are immune from problems, but all of us can stand today and tell each of us that trouble will come, but there's one that knows that they're able to deliver us out of trouble. Please pray for me this morning. Now let me say this before I go on. Burdens are not always bad. I knew that'd get your attention. Burdens are not always bad. You remember Paul there writing one time in his second letter to the church at Corinth. He said, "Who is sufficient? Who is adequate for these things?" He said, "When I came to Troas for the gospel of Christ, I had no rest for my spirit." He could find no rest for his spirit. But I tell you what, even though Paul had burdens as an apostle of Jesus Christ, he was far better off with his burdens as a Christian than he was a lost Pharisee. You see, the fact of the matter is, that many times we look to the wicked and we look to the ungodly and we think, boy, they've really got it easy. They've really got it made and everything goes well for them. That's what the psalmist said. He said, "When I considered the prosperity of the wicked," he said, "I almost slipped. I almost stumbled over that." He said, "But then I went to the house of the Lord and I considered therein." That's what you've got to do, my friend. Look at the whole picture. Make sure that you get a whole view of what's going on and understand that in the end, God is going to look out for His own and God's going to take care of His children. Reality of burdens. Let me hurry. There's something I want to show you here today. The perilous reaction to burdens. All right, I've established the fact we are going to have burdens. But let me warn you concerning some perilous reactions to our burdens. Here's some things that we need to avoid, things we need to be careful about. The first is we should not resort to self-pity. Any of y'all ever had that juniper tree syndrome? Huh? Brave man becomes a caveman. Got a bad case of the Jezebel jitters. That's what happened to Elijah. Yeah. He resorted to self-pity. I read one time about a man that opened his lunchbox and he exclaimed, "Cheese sandwiches. Cheese sandwiches again today. Every day it's cheese." He'd say that day after day till finally his co-worker said, "Why don't you get your wife to fix something else?" He said, "Why? I'm not married. I have to fix my own lunch." Someone has said that many people complain about the way the ball bounces. He said, but the fact of the matter is the reason it bounced is they dropped it to start with. Simply put, there's no need in us wallowing in self-pity, because many times we are to blame for the things we're facing. Many times it's we that are putting the pressure upon our life. You may find yourself in a financial crisis today. However, if you will be honest with yourself, it is you that put your name on the dotted line. You may find yourself in a physical crisis today, overwork, overweight. You have not taken proper care of your body, and because of that, you are in a crisis today. You going to help me while I preach or not? I mean, again and again, we do things that we take advantage of our emotions, of our lives. We add upon stress, and until finally there is a breakdown. Help me, God. We should not resort to self-pity. Let me warn you of something else. We should not react in anger. Many times that's the first thing we're going to do is get mad about it. James tells us to be slow to anger. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Anger is like thumping a wasp nest. Anger is like dragging your toe through an anthill. Anger is like burning your own house down to get rid of a rat. Anger is not far from danger. Help me while I preach. I read once of how that in the spring of 1894, the Baltimore Orioles had come to Boston to play, and there was a riot after the game, and the Orioles player by the name of McGraw got in the fight with the Boston third baseman, and the people in the stands got involved in it, and there was a riot, and there was a fire, and the whole ballpark burned to the ground. And if that wasn't enough, 107 buildings in Boston burned down, all because somebody got upset over a ball game. What am I trying to say? Look, don't allow things to get so big that they overtake you and overcome you. You're going to create damage. You're going to create heartache. You cannot stop things by getting angry about it. I'm probably red in the face right now, ain't I? Don't resort to self-pity. Don't react in anger. Don't resign to despair. Here's what a lot of people do when they have trouble. They just resign to despair. A patient in a certain mental hospital, a preacher said that he heard of, was named No Hope Carter. He was a man that had lost his mind, And he would walk down the corridors of the insane asylum and say, "No hope, no hope, no hope, no hope." My friend, your name is not No Hope Carter today. I come to preach to somebody here today. You have hope because Jesus lives. I ask the Lord to help me to try to get a hold of this morning, because I feel like there's somebody here today, you're just a little bit heavy laden and overcome, and you've about reached that load limit, and you just can't take any more of what you're having to take. I want you to understand the prevalent reality of burdens. I want to take you also to the thought of there are perilous reactions to burdens. But last of all, I want to preach to you that there is a prescribed response to burdens. Here's how I should treat my burdens. Here's what I need to do when I have burdens. Here's what I need to do when I have troubles. I want to give you 5 C's today of what to do when you have burdens. The first thing you need to do is a good dose of confession. That's what you need to do, is confess your burdens. Confess to whom? Confess them to yourself. Confess them to God. And if necessary, confess them to your companion or to a friend. You see, the first thing you can do on your road back to spiritual health is to confess that you are overwhelmed with life's burdens. The first thing you need to do to get back on your road of spiritual health is to confess, "I've got a problem. I'm going to come to God. I'm going to confess. I'm going to admit. I'm going to tell God, I can't take no more of this. I'm under this load. I've got to have some relief. I've got to know some relief. I've got to have victory in my life today." Confess. I know not what your burden may be today, but let me surmise that it may be a burden of suffering, a burden of sorrow. All of us face these things. But there may be one or several here today, it's a burden of sin. Is there anything that weighs more heavily upon the soul than unconfessed sin? David, when he did repent, he said, "My sin is ever before me." Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. Is there anything that weighs more heavily upon an individual than that sin that they know that they're going to have to confess, that wrong that they're going to have to admit? Confess your burden. Put a name on it. Even if it is something immoral, even if it is something unclean and sinful, you can't go on living under that load. What you must do is confess your burden. Acknowledge your sin. Get the load off. I feel like sometimes people come to church and the enemy has pushed them down, and the enemy has rolled them about past sins, and they live under such condemnation. You know what you need to do? Come to this altar and confess it. Let God cleanse you. Let God wipe the slate clean. Let God forgive you and get the load off of you today. That's what I want to see for you, friend. It's to see God take the load off of you today. That's what you must do, is confess. Secondly, here in Psalm 145, notice what the text says. Look down to verse 17 of Psalm 145. "The Lord is righteous in all His ways and holy in all His works. The Lord is nigh unto them that call upon Him." That's what you need to do. Not only confess, but call. Just call on the Lord. You're here today and you're overcome with things. You're here today and you say, "Preacher, I can't take any more of what I'm having to take." Call. Come Come. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Cast. Casting all your care upon Him. For He careth for you. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Second Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them. Oh, did you get that? Which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Do you see what that means? Your affliction has turned to ministry. Hallelujah. Confess. Call. Come. Cast. Comfort. Somehow or another, we ourselves receive aid. Somehow or another, we ourselves are strengthened when we turn to aid another. Oh, hallelujah. I read one time about that scientist that observed that little small ant. He noticed that that ant was carrying a large piece of straw many times longer than the ant itself and much more heavier than the ant. But that ant bore its burden along, and finally it came to a wide crevice. It came to a large chasm that the ant could not pass over. He rolled that piece of straw off his back onto the ground, got to the end of it, and pushed it over that crevice. He walked over on top of that straw. He had made his burden a bridge. The realm of your burden may also turn to the realm of your ministry. There are many of you that have went through things that I have never faced. I find myself incapable. I find myself inadequate. I find myself unable to minister to that person in that area because I've not faced that trial. I've not faced that tribulation. I've not gone through that veil of tears. But for you that have walked that road of sorrow, for you that have been there, for you that have faced that, you can stand and say, when I went through that trial, the Lord was with me. When I faced that adversary, the Lord was with me. I believe there are people here today that if we give them opportunity, no matter the problem, no matter the difficulty, no matter the situation, somebody could say, when I was there, the Lord brought me through. That ought to be enough to encourage everybody in the house today that no matter what you're facing, the Lord is able to roll that burden off of your shoulders, and the Lord is able to lift you up. I said the Lord is able to lift you up. I mentioned that it may be a burden of sorrow. There are people that could stand today and testify, when I was in that place of sorrow, the Lord rolled that burden away and He lifted me up. Can I get an amen? I mentioned that place of suffering, that place of physical hardship, mental anguish, emotional distress. There are some of you that could stand and say, when I was there, the Lord come to me and He lifted that load and He raised me up. Can I get an amen? And then all of us who had to come to Jesus the same way, at the foot of the cross. We knelt at the cross and we confessed our every sin, and He freely forgave us of them all. Can I get an amen?
He was able to roll the burden away and lift us up. So you here today that are under a burden of sin, under a weight of condemnation, you say, "Preacher, I've tried, but I failed again." I've got good news for you today. The Lord is able to come and lift you up. Oh, I've got good news for you today. The Lord is able to come and raise you up again. Let's stand all over the house and see what the Lord will do for us in this altar service. Let's give the Lord a praise. Could we please lift our hands all over the house while they come to get us a song? Lord, I need a lift. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your spirit. I feel right now. Thank you for your Holy Ghost. I feel moved into the sanctuary to minister here today. Lord, there are some of your dear children here this morning. They need a lift. They are some of your dear children here today. They've been under a load. They've been under a burden, God, and they need a lift. Hallelujah. For truly I know the words that thou hast said in secret. I have heard thy cry upon thy bed, and I have come to you this day to lift you up. I have come today to forgive you of that condemnation. I have come today, saith God, to release you of that burden of fear. I have come today, saith God, to put hope into thy heart that once again I, the Lord, will move and deliver you, saith God. Oh, sweet Holy Ghost. I love you, Lord. I praise you, God. Oh, have your way in this altar, Lord. I pray. Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. While your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, Brother MacDonald, I'm one of those that you preached to this morning. I'm under a burden and I need a lift. Can I see your hand on this right side? Thank you, son. God bless you, brother. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, sweet Jesus. Over on my left now. Thank you, brother. Thank you. God bless you, sister. God bless you, ma'am. I wonder about all over the house this morning if we could just maybe sense our need, that we need to draw a little closer and we need more of God, and we could lift our hands right where we are and say, "Lord, I need a lift this morning." Could we do that? Let's not get in a hurry, please. It's early yet. Let's just worship the Lord for a moment. Lord, I need a lift.